Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 34. After telling us, as the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be so preoccupied by the things of this earth and the treasures of the earth, such that we lay up those treasures and we seek after them and we protect them and we focus all on those things, even though they are can easily pass from our hands and easily be destroyed or stolen or lose their value. But rather, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, our passage clearly indicates that believers are not immune to worries regarding food, regarding clothing, regarding health, namely the necessities of life. It's not the case that God's people have all that they need day after day after day after day. That they never have any struggles, that they never have any health issues, they never have things that weigh on their hearts and minds, that life, as we say, is just a bed of roses. That clearly is not what the scriptures teach. Because we have example after example after example of God's people going through difficulties. And certainly the Israelites went through times of famine often, and they cried out to God, and God came to their rescue. So we do go through those times, and the Lord Jesus Christ anticipates that, and he addresses that in the passage before us. Because the uncertainty of those kinds of things and the experiences that that come when we have shortages of those things, that's what leads us to try to secure those things for ourselves so that we don't have those experiences. So we work hard to make sure that, as they say, that we're safe and we have enough for a rainy day. It's as though we want to avoid all of those things and we're going to go through great lengths to make sure that we don't go through those things. And so as the passage speaks about, we start focusing on those things. We're so fearful of those times, and we don't want to go through those times, so that we go overboard in terms of having provisions, almost like the farmer that had bumper crops, so that we can, even though we would not say it, of course, but really we're thinking, soul, lie back and enjoy it. Nothing's going to shake this, right? It's certain. We got it in the bank, as it were. And so we do all of that, and the Lord Jesus Christ sees that in a negative way. He sees that as not looking to God. He sees that as taking things into your own hands. And it's an insult to God. It would be like your kids in your home. They keep bringing stuff in from the outside, or maybe even from the pantry, and they take it up to their bedroom and they hide it in the bedroom. You say, well, what are you doing? Well, you know, if at some time we don't have food, we want to make sure that we've got it in the bedroom. Like, they don't trust the parents are going to take care of them, and so they take it in their own hands and they do whatever they have to do to alleviate any worries. You see, that is not a life of trusting in God. That's life where we want to secure everything. We want to have everything there for us so that we never have to worry about it. But it's clearly not sufficient, is it? As Jesus said, thou fool, thou fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of thee. Now whose will these things be? And so the Lord Jesus Christ seeks to give us another approach, another way to analyze these things, another way to look at our life and the way that we live our life, the way that we organize our minds in terms of these matters. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a remedy, an antidote to what the devil challenges us with. I mean, that's what he's doing. The devil is always about, don't trust in God. You can't trust him. You can't rely on him. He doesn't watch out for your best interest. In fact, he keeps things back. And so you have to take things into your own hands. You have to go and eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's never going to let you go and eat of it. He doesn't want you to have what that tree provides, knowledge of good and evil. And so they took. And it didn't do them what they thought they would have received. It plunged the whole world into sin. So our passage then is a necessity so that we can enjoy life as God gives it to us. Enjoy the things that He's provided for us, but in the right balance, looking to Him. I mean, in terms, if I were to put it, you know, transform this kind of message into the, with respect to the gospel, the equivalent would be, I secure my own salvation with good works. I try and live in a certain way that I will be acceptable before God. And so therefore I ignore what God has provided, namely His Son. I mean, that would be the equivalent in spiritual terms, that we try and take charge ourselves. And in both areas, it results in great failure. So the scriptures call us to open our eyes, just do a little bit of thinking, right? Just meditate a little bit, right? Not just read the words, but just think through the arguments. The scriptures are logical. They're reasonable. They make an argument so that you can think upon it. And that's the way that it sinks in. We have to take our time. And that's what Jesus is doing in this passage. He's helping us to... I mean, he could have just told them, this is it. But he reasons it out. Because he doesn't just want us to follow him blindly. He wants us to know these things. So that we're convicted to the core. And the way that we act is not because we're told to act that way, because we know that's the way that we ought to act. And we can enjoy God more than we've ever enjoyed before. So whatever conditions this Thanksgiving finds you, or finds our country for that matter, so much unrest, so much concern, people divided against people, that in all of those circumstances, it's the scriptures and their teaching that gives us a solid foundation and a way forward, a way of faith, a way of trusting in God, seeing God all around us, not as absent, not as where is God. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Why doesn't he fix this? Why doesn't he fix that? I mean, that's the devil's intention. Get us not so happy with God. Because then he's got leverage over us to lead us to put things right. He doesn't want us glorifying God. He doesn't want us praising him in all the things that we see around. But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ leads us to. And so in the first place, we ought to wait God's provisions. And by that I mean to put the right importance on the right things. Because we can get things out of focus, right? We can focus on things that are not foundational. Just like the Pharisees. I mean, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about them. I mean, you fixate on the minute little details and you forget the major things. You go out in your gardens and you find the tenth of every little harvest thing that you have and you forget the weightier matters of the law. Ignoring your parents. Hiding your money so that you don't have to help. How foolish that is. Not obeying God, but acting in a certain way that justifies yourself. And so when we look at life then, the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to see the importance of the spiritual over the physical, first of all. The spiritual is most important. We can have perfect health. We can have all the money that we want. But if there's no spiritual foundation, we have nothing. We absolutely have nothing. As I've just alluded to. As the scriptures calls that person that lies in his bed and say, relax, we have so much money in the bank, so many, the harvest in the barns, it'll last for a lifetime. I would imagine there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people like that. Multi-millionaires. Billionaires, in fact, in these days. I mean, they couldn't spend all that money. If they full-time went out and spent that money, they couldn't spend that much money. You can well imagine that they might think, sit back and relax. What a terrible way to live. And how vulnerable. So we need to make sure that we prioritize things in our lives. I mean, in the Old Testament, you remember, there was that problem of just fixating on the physical rather than the spiritual. I mean, that's what gave rise to Saul being king, wasn't it? I mean, he was head and shoulders over everyone else. Well, what else is there to look at? I mean, look at the guy, right? He's a giant. He'll be a great king. He'll be a great leader. Didn't work out so well, did it? And then again, I mean, you think they'd learnt the first time, but the second time, he goes and he's going to anoint a king. And again, he looks at David's brothers. He said, there must be this one. And God says, no. Well, this one, no. This one, I mean, just by sheer luck, he could have got the right one, but he didn't, because he wasn't working that way. He was working on the basis of the physical is the most important. And so he never did get to David. And when he did come, he wasn't so impressed. No, we can't focus on the outward things, but on the spiritual. And Abraham is another good example, is he not? He left all the outward advantages that he had to follow the Lord. Left his home country to follow the Lord. The Lord teaches us not to judge our well-being on outward indicators. We would all agree that life is more important than food, would we not? And we would further agree that the state of the body is more important than the clothes. But you wouldn't know it. From our society, you wouldn't know it. Those are the things that we elevate. Those are the things that we look at. And therefore, people act appropriately in that setting. So they'll spend money that they don't have to look good. They'll spend money on buying things that are really expensive. Practically, they're not that much of use. But they'll spend money on the names of these things because they want to impress. Since it is clearly the case, then let's understand that the spiritual is more important than the earthly. And as the Bible puts it so succinctly, what advantage is it if we gain the whole world and lose our souls? What advantage is that? Who's going to say, I won in that setting? Not the rich farmer. Absolutely not. But on the other hand, how wonderfully Philip Bliss captured this truth when he wrote, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, God has taught us to say, it is well with my soul. And what strength we have when we see what God has provided for us. Are you facing trials of health? Are you facing financial shortfalls? Are you perhaps not able to renew your wardrobe? Not able to eat as you would want? It is not that these things are not important and not to be enjoyed when God is pleased to send them to us, but these are not the most important indicators of our state before God. We must reflect upon first on this day, the state of our hearts, namely our faith. If it is in ill repair or worse, non-existent, then no matter how healthy and rich we may be, we are poor in God's sight. And that's what the reality is. It's not the reality that we make, but the reality as God sees it. Let all that know that they are the children of God, that have their sins forgiven, and are destined to live eternally with God in heaven, rejoice and give God thanks. I mean, why would that not overshadow everything else? Why would that joy not break into our lives, no matter what situations we're facing, that it would give us hope and comfort and strength? Not that we can laugh through the struggles of life. I'm not saying that. But it does give us a solid foundation. It does take us through those times, keeping our faith fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would bear this principle in mind, perhaps we would have a much more content life. Content life. Whereby we honor God and we serve Him. As I say, the Lord Jesus Christ not only makes these truths clear before us, but He lays out the arguments so that we would never forget. And that's what He's doing in this passage. And so he says, look at God. Just think a little bit about God, whom you call your Father. Come to know Him. See how He acts. See how He behaves in this world. And so He turns their minds to the animals, to birds, that hardly weigh anything. They have no power. And He says, look at the way your Father takes care of them. He doesn't tell them to work. He doesn't tell them to sow. He doesn't tell them to water the ground. He doesn't tell them to harvest. They do none of those things. Absolutely none of those things. And just imagine how many birds there are in this world. And even though they don't do those things, yet God feeds them every day. Every day, they are provided for. The birds not are extinct, are they? I mean, there's tons and tons of birds. Just look around and you see. Well, that the Lord Jesus Christ trying to impress upon them that our Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, isn't some absentee landlord. He's not far away doing something else. I mean, we might forget to fill the bird feeder at times. But we're busy with other things. And the birds may be disappointed that come to your garden. But no bird is disappointed in God's provisions. He provides for them day by day. He doesn't forget. Not one bird falls to the ground without His knowledge. I mean, what kind of attention is that to the creation? But that's the attention that God gives to the creation. He doesn't miss a thing. He doesn't think that some things are beneath Him, that He doesn't have to deal with those things, that He's going to delegate them to certain angels. No, it is God that feeds them with His hands. Such seemingly insignificant creatures are cared for in this tender and consistent way. And then He also, of course, points to the flowers and the grass. And the temporary nature of some of the plants. You know, they rise up and you know, in a day or a few days they're gone. And you think, well, why would you spend so much attention on those things when in a couple of days they're going to be gone? Who wants to devote that much time But God does. And Jesus said, even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. That our today and tomorrow, whatever plants he was talking about, are put into the oven. That's the detail by which God takes care of his creation. That's the intimate involvement that God has with this creation. Not to speak of all the other things, the wonders of the world, all the other processes that go on. No, God is always working. God is always working. And so the Lord Jesus Christ brings that argument home to his hearers by saying, I mean, there's a clincher, isn't it, in that argument. Are you not more important than those things? I mean, if your parents spend so much time taking care of their garden and they're always out there and every little detail they take care of, do you think they're not going to take care of their children? I mean, it's unthinkable. Absolutely unthinkable. And that's what Jesus is saying to his hearers. Just look around. Just look at the creation around you. It shouts forth truths that you need to hear so that you don't go astray. God is faithful. God is consistent. God never takes a break. He doesn't ignore anything. And the creation is proof of that every day. As we said last week, God feeds billions of people every day. Every day. That doesn't happen by accident. Oh yes, there may be famine somewhere, there may not be a drought somewhere and stuff like that. But speaking as a whole, God provides this world with food to feed billions and billions of people. People starve not because we don't have food, by the way. It's not that there's not enough food in this world and that we don't grow enough and there's not enough harvest to feed everyone. There absolutely is. It's a distribution. And it's the struggles that we have in this world of nation against nation that creates those things. But it's not that God has not provided enough food. He absolutely has. So it should follow in our minds that God takes care of us. The devil should never, never succeed in convincing us that God is taking a break, that God is ignoring us, that we're not important enough for God, and therefore take things into your own hands. No, God cares for you. He knows you by name. He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows everything. Therefore, we ought to take that wonderful logic of the Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen our faith, to be equipped and ready when those times of struggle come and we are in need of certain things. It's these truths that will help us to be content in those times. As Paul says, I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is to have very little. I know these different circumstances that come to people in general. He says, but I've learned to be content. It doesn't happen automatically. You have to think through those things. But once we get those arguments down, once we let those words sink into our hearts and minds, then we will learn to be content. Not that we're going to avoid these kinds of circumstances, because we're not. But we'll learn to be content. We'll learn to go through those by faith. as the scriptures teach and Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. The just will get through all the struggles because they have faith in God and they understand who their God is. So once we have that established in our minds and hearts, now we are equipped to live the way that God wants us to live. Worry free. Don't worry, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Banish worry from your minds. Answer that worry as it arises in your hearts. Answer that worry with clear and powerful arguments from the creation around you. Go back to those arguments. Let them cast away any doubt that God doesn't care. He absolutely does. And so when the devil comes and circumstances come and they weigh us down and we begin to buckle and our feet begin to slip, then let those words echo in our hearts and minds. Are you not more important than these? Has God not done enough to show you He is faithful and always watching over you? Surely He has. If He did not spare His only begotten Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not with Him give us all things freely? Of course He will. But life is difficult. And I would not be standing here telling you, oh, you get these principles right, you'll never have a struggle at all. You think Job didn't have these principles down? He definitely did. But the magnitude of his problems sent him flying. What a struggle. So it's something that we have to work on. Something that we have to stress day by day in our lives. So that we live for Christ. We don't run around securing a solid foundation ourselves that never works anyway. No, we rejoice in the foundation that has been laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so given that freedom, as Jesus says, when we have that freedom, we seek God's righteousness and His kingdom. Now we're free to serve Him. Now we're free to be light and salt. Now we're free to be instruments of righteousness in His hands. But if we're so worried about these other things, then we're just doing things for ourselves. We're just trying to secure things for ourselves. We're not witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not a taskmaster that calls us to do these things and He ignores us, mistreats His employees. No, He's not like that. But He is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love and serve me. I know what you need. And I will provide all of those things. The people of God, let us ensure we have this solid foundation. Let these truths sink deep into our hearts and minds. So that no matter what problems come, what happens in terms of the country, in terms of finances, or in terms of health, whatever kinds of conditions you face, these truths will lead you to stand firm. To fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be disappointed, but rather to love and to serve Him, for He is always faithful to us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for stooping to our level, helping us to think through these glorious truths of Your Word. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might indeed think further on them in our own private moments, that we might indeed allow them to work in us, and that your Holy Spirit will lead us into these wonderful truths. Our Father in heaven, we do pray, especially this morning for people in British Columbia, and we know the devastation that they've experienced. Many that have lost their homes, lost their flocks and herds. And Lord, things must be really dismal for them. And even for the state to respond with a state of emergency just speaks to the gravity of the situation. And Lord, we know there are many people there, as well as many churches. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bring comfort and help and relief to them. And also, Lord, that your people may be examples to others of looking to you and humbling themselves before you and acknowledging you as the creator of the heavens and the earth and the one that takes care of them. And so we do pray for a sparing of life, and Lord, that that soon the government and the reconstruction can begin to take place of the infrastructure. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless us this day, bless our celebrations. May they indeed remind us of the security that we have and the contentment that we should enjoy day by day, because we are your children, redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 44.